The following is an emergency bonus episode with the sudden and surprising release of F-Zero 99 earlier this year.
Hi, I'm Bill, and I absolutely love old video games, but I didn't have anyone to play with. So I decided to start the Super Switch Club.
That's right.
A podcast dedicated to discussing and reliving the nostalgia of retro video games that are also on the Nintendo Online Virtual Library.
Nothing prepares you for F-Zero, created for the new Super Nintendo Entertainment System. You won't believe the power. You won't believe the control. You won't believe the jumps, the curves, or the feeling you get until you experience it for yourself.
Wow, that's fast.
F-Zero for the ultimate G-Force, only on the next generation from Nintendo. Now you're racing with power, superpower.
You are about to witness the fastest, most punishing race in the history of the galaxy. F-Zero. Hello to life forms throughout the universe. This is the race you've been waiting for. In just moments, the first round of the F-Zero Night League will be starting at Butte City. Now let's introduce the drivers who are risking it all to thrill you.
Am I on? I'm on. Cool.
This is Eric Slater from Epic Fails of History, and I'm joined today by my stepson, Rune Kaminsky.
Douglas Gale here, co-host of a Game Pass podcast called Game Pass. Also, semi-frequent contributor to Super Switch Club and Podcasters Assemble.
G'day, Alicia.
This is Ben from Dragoon Effect, here to talk about F-Zero 99.
And I have this idea for a Fast and Furious rewatch podcast called Too Fast, Too Curious, but that went nowhere.
Here comes a new challenger!
Hi, my name's Dan. I don't have a project to shill, so I guess that's my intro.
Hey, Super Switch Club. I'm going to do something which is a bit unusual for me. I'm going to just record this while I'm playing the game so I can actually remember the game.
But on that theme of Zoomy Zoom Car Cars, I'm here to talk about my experience with the very mediocre F-Zero 99.
And today we're going to talk about F-Zero 99.
F-Zero 99, a rework of an older game? I think there's an older F-Zero game.
So hey, we're going to talk about F-Zero 99, which I f***ing love.
Today we're talking about F-Zero 99.
I keep wanting to say F-Zero X, but it's, that's not it.
With this lineup, it's going to be some race.
I'm going to be playing F-Zero 99, which is a new game that Nintendo released.
Eric was so excited about this game when it got released on the Switch Online.
Have you played an F-Zero game? Well, probably not.
I have very little knowledge of classic Nintendo games.
So I thought we'd better see what all the fuss is about.
Have you played a Battle Royale game? Hey, you're halfway to knowing what this game is.
It's sort of a battle royalification of the Super Nintendo game F-Zero, which is an absolute classic.
I'm not going to play original F-Zero to confirm this.
I knew going into this that I was probably not going to be a super duper fan of this game.
Have you played a racing game? I bet you probably have.
It's a racing game, which I do not care for, even at its top of the genre, you know, sort of like the best of the best of racing games. Not a big fan.
Have you ever played an F-Zero game prior to this, or are you kind of new to it?
I only ever played like one F-Zero game. I don't remember which one it was, but it was just kind of like, this game exists, so I'll click on it.
Yeah.
And I did, and I don't remember anything from it besides I pretty sure I lost. But yeah, that's all my prior experience of F-Zero.
What is F-Zero?
So F-Zero 99 combines the F-Zero racing franchise with Battle Royales. However, you don't have to finish first in order to, what I will say, win.
It is now the year 2560, and due to the human race's countless encounters with alien life forms throughout the universe, Earth's social framework has expanded to cosmic proportions. Now, trade, technology, transfer, and cultural interchange are carried out on an interplanetary basis. the multi-billionaires who earn their enormous wealth through intergalactic trade, while satisfied with their rich lifestyles, also yearned for new entertainment to stimulate their lazy lives. Their wishes were met by a call for a new project based upon a seemingly simple premise. Why not hold, on a galactic scale, some competition like the F1 races once held on Earth centuries ago? These racing circuits were located as high up as 300 feet above ground and held in place by anti-gravitational guide beams on both sides of the courses. The racing machines developed for these tracks used the very latest in supermagnetic technology and were designed to travel without wheels, hovering 1 foot above the course track. In time, winning this race meant earning the highest honor that could be bestowed on anyone in the universe. In a very short time, people came to call this Grand Prix simply F-Zero.
Whew! All right, what an introduction.
Now, before we can even talk about F-Zero 99, first we need to talk about the original 1992 Super Nintendo launch title, F-Zero.
F-Zero is pretty fun.
It's really fun. Well, I think it is anyway.
It's just very meh.
I actually had that game when I was a kid. I probably would have been like 9, 10, 11, somewhere in that neighborhood. I played it a lot. It was never very good.
It's hectic, and I'm not very good at it.
There's only this one version? Just this? Yeah, all right, let's go. There was no one else to race against in the practice mode, so it got boring real quick.
Well, aren't I a fool? I thought I was playing F-Zero 99, but I was just playing F-Zero, the 1991 SNES version. I did a whole submission thinking I was playing F-Zero 99, and then complaining that it was bad, and how was I meant to play with people online, and where were these other people, and why was this game so boring and bad to control? Well, now I know. So, upon realizing my mistake, I found the correct version, the one that Eric is so excited about, and gave that a crack.
I know that you played a little bit of the SNES game. What did you think of that? Like, because I think you started with 99 and then going back to that. It's like, you know, 30-year-old game now. So how do you feel like that one stacks up? I know you don't have the nostalgia for it that I do, so I'm just curious about your thoughts.
Yeah, just like from an outsider point of view for the original game, F-Zero 99 is definitely a step, like five steps above.
I remember a lot of like grinding against the walls until I blew up because I didn't really have a grasp on how to play the game.
But it makes sense.
F-Zero, especially the first one, is so bare bones. It's a tech demo.
And the graphics were garbage and the scenery was lame.
But I do remember enjoying it nonetheless.
While I loved the original SNES game growing up, F-Zero X for the N64 is really where my love of the franchise skyrocketed. The original was great, don't get me wrong, but F-Zero X had a pretty metal soundtrack, a ton of new characters, and it was one of the first racing games to include roller coaster style tracks that went upside down in loops.
I haven't played any of the other F-Zeros. I know they did like two more.
Unfortunately, the last game that was released was F-Zero GX for the GameCube, and while it was a pretty big graphics upgrade from the previous games, I remember the story mode being impossibly hard. And for whatever reason, that was Nintendo's last attempt at the franchise until now. While the original F-Zero was a staple of the SNES, there's always one thing that bothered me about it. It was a racing game that didn't have a two-player mode. I always hoped that Nintendo would go back and patch this later on with the Virtual Console releases or, you know, finally when they dropped it on Nintendo Switch Online, but it's such an obvious oversight that it never happened. And then in the biggest overcorrection ever, my dream came true with F-Zero 99.
Also not a huge fan of multiplayer games, and this is very much a multiplayer games.
I don't like being bullied in online games, and that's probably why I don't play online very often.
Not only is it multiplayer, not only is it online, it's not just two players, it's 99 players.
So, yeah, it's not for me.
Just like with Tetris 99, Pac-Man 99, and Mario 35, F-Zero 99 is a modern remix of this classic game. With all new mechanics, it's much more balanced, with a whole lot more strategy involved.
So this version was way more fun than the SNES version.
Now, when it comes to the graphics, you're either going to love this game or hate it.
Oh, the graphics were visually offensive, I will say that.
At the time, you best believe this was the coolest thing since the invention of ice.
So this is a pixelated nightmare. Am I playing the right game?
Which I feel bad saying, because it's a nostalgia trip, man. It's absolutely, it looks like absolute ass on my big monitor because, you know, these kind of graphics aren't necessarily meant to be played like this.
Just like with the original Star Fox, see Season 2, this game was an early attempt at 3D graphics on a 16-bit system.
But they're sticking true to it. There's, if you are super fond of that, you know, ancient 1-bit graphics, you're gonna love this.
F-Zero 99 definitely upgraded the look of the game.
They're just slightly brighter in the 99 version.
It still retains that retro 16-bit style, but it's a lot smoother and more polished than the original game.
They have more, like, processing ability. You can see the whole entire track. In the original game, like, it was like having your render distance on 12.
Yeah,
like,
that's a good way to put it.
You can only see, like, maybe 10 feet in front of you.
It just looks super stretched out.
There's a tech demo to be like, yep, the SNES can go really fast and can do mode 7, right? If it's got the part of the chip which can stretch out a flat surface so that it looks like it's three-dimensional.
It does make it honestly harder, I think, because you'd have to have a lot quicker reaction time, but it makes it more fun, in my opinion.
I think I've mentioned it before that, like, for me, I was an adult man when these types of games were coming out and mostly wasn't playing them. I was on a different system, so I don't have that nostalgia feel for it. And when I do have like a love of pixel art, I like new good pixel art, like Game Boy Advance at minimum. That's, I think, what I need for me to be jazzed up about a pixel art nostalgia kick.
The SNES version is definitely rough around the edges, at least from a modern standpoint. And if you know a thing or two about animation frames, you can kind of tell the visual tricks they're using to give it the illusion of 3D, especially with the way the horizon is animated. But it's really clever and effective if you can look past the choppiness of it. It seems as though there's a whole generation of gamers out there who are completely unfamiliar with this franchise, which is a shame because it's absolutely a hidden gem. In fact, most people don't even know that this game was the debut of yet another Super Smash Bros. Staple, Captain Falcon.
Falcon Punch!
Now, it's worth noting that the more recent Mario Kart games for the Wii U and Switch actually included a F-Zero-X-inspired Big Blue course as one of the bonus tracks, which I believe was originally part of the DLC.
But yeah, no, it's really good. I don't know, it just feels nice. This feels like a nice game. I recognize that, like, there were people who really like F-Zero who were hoping for a proper F-Zero game with fancy new graphics. But you know what? That already exists. It's called Super Mario Kart. Mario Kart, whatever number it's up to, the newest one, has a lot of F-Zero in it. In the nicest way, it's got a ton of F-Zero influence in it. So that's why you're not getting a big fancy one. And this one actually is quite fun, and it's the best of these, like, Battle Royale classic Nintendo game ones that I've ever done.
Also, not only is Captain Falcon a big character in the Super Smash Bros. Games, there's several F-Zero stages in almost every version of Smash Bros., and they are always some of my favorite arenas, especially because of that epic music. And of course, we have to talk about the music.
I thought I might as well mention as well that F-Zero, really music, brilliant, isn't it?
The music is still awesome.
I do like the music, though. The music is pretty fun, which is, you know, that's good. It's got that going for it.
The music of F-Zero is beyond iconic. It's transcendent.
Absolutely excellent.
I like the menu screen music, but I like the underlying music, not the repetitive track over the top, that
That's kind of annoying, but the music underneath that is really cool.
That's not a bad track in the bunch.
Mute City and Big Blue were the tracks that I actually did remember, and they sound really, really good.
And the track music for Mute City is really fun. And I haven't yet worked out if the track music for all the other tracks is different, because when I play online, everyone gets to pick which track they want to, or vote for which track they want to play on, and it just keeps, everyone just keeps voting for Mute City. So I think I've only played like two or three tracks, and I can't remember the other ones.
Those electronic tracks like Mute City and Big Blue still slap to this day.
And this title screen gives off big 80s vibes for some reason.
I love the retro style here. It's definitely like the old school 16-bit graphics, but again, far smoother frame rates. Really captures the feel of the original game, but somehow embraces it.
It looks like all of the like icons for picking game modes or the sections to go into in the workshop and stuff, they use the comic graphics, comic images.
And as a side note, I love that they use the art from the original instruction manual in the menus of this new game.
So in the original F-Zero manual, I remember there was like a comic in the back half of it that introduced all the characters and why they didn't like each other and why they wanted to participate in F-Zero. And it looks like they're using images panels from that comic for each of these things. So that's a nice touch. That's a really cool throwback.
It's all so fluoro and bright.
You also have the ability to customize your own vehicles with unlockable upgrades, which is very cool.
When you first launch the game, they drop you straight into a set of tutorials.
It gives you a little tutorial using the different abilities and explaining the controls, and we all know how much I love a tutorial.
The first one is pretty straightforward. It just gives you the basics of the controls, left, right, accelerate, boost, slide, that kind of stuff.
So I did that. And I learned what the power meter does.
There's actually kind of a lot to remember while you're playing between like the boost, the super boost, the power level.
I did learn that my power goes down when I crash into walls. So if I do too much Demolition Derby style driving, I start running low. And then you just drive over that little power bay and it goes up again. Hooray.
The spin.
There's now a spin attack, a super boost.
And you have a spin motion, and so you can kind of like crash other cars.
You can do a little bit of jam ups with people, smash into them.
They can explode and be out of the race.
That recharges sometimes.
And they very smartly don't let you spam that little spin move to attack people, because, well, first of all, it would make the game way more fun, so they don't want to do that. Just kidding. Because it would become obnoxious, and I would be an obnoxious player who would just spam that spin button, because it's not that kind of game. It's a racing game.
I still don't know what the limit warning means, and now there's some like sirens blaring at me. Why are there sirens? Has there been an accident? Is there an ambulance?
It also teaches you about skyways, which is something that's new to F-Zero 99.
One thing I think it is really cool with F-Zero 99 that's not in pretty much any other racing game is the skyline thing that's above the track.
If you charge, you're special enough, you get launched up onto this ramp.
I did really like the super ramp.
Or it's more like an elevated raceway that has no walls that you can run into and slow you down.
They say that the fast track I love.
Just basically a shorter path through the course with boosts.
Where you go on like the rainbow bridge and just like all y'all to the traffic.
And I learned that in this game you can also collect these little.
If you get these like golden XP points.
When you collect enough golden poops out of some sort of car, I wasn't quite sure what was going on there.
They're kind of like coins, and if you get enough of them, you'll fill up a bar. And you can press boost whenever you fill up that bar.
So yeah, you pick up your golden dealies.
That let you fly on a sky track for a nice little uncrowded boost.
So the way that works is when cars bump into each other, they drop super sparks.
From where everyone bumps into each other, which is lots of fun. I'd actually like that as a little addition to the game.
There's like this other magic car on the, I think they're cars also. I wasn't sure if they were cars or spaceships.
They're like hovercrafts.
Anyways, there's a magic spaceship car, a golden spaceship car, driving around the track that just like shits out little gold nuggets.
Little gold orbs.
Coin orb thingies.
So yeah, and you bash into the other guys, you pick up the...
And if you collect enough of its magic gold poops, then you can do like super turbo.
You fill up a meter that once it's full, you can hit a button to fly up to the skyway.
Ultra turbo max.
And you'll go onto this like transparent Tron like sky.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, like thing above the track.
And it opens up this like crystalline floaty racetrack that brings you above the hullabaloo, and you don't have to worry about taking a lot of sharp corners and smacking in the wall like I do constantly.
And it'll let you skip a bunch of other people. You won't get hit. There's no like thing you can take damage, and it's just there's a few boosts and stuff.
You just cruise and zoom past all the riffraff, and that's kind of fun. I like doing that because it just makes me feel like, you know, I'm better than everyone around me because I collected all the gold poop.
So you'll stay up there for a certain amount of time and then drop back down to the normal course.
But I think it's really cool because it, like, if you're really far behind, it's almost like a bullet bill.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just not as overpowered as a bullet bill.
I wonder if there are like better and worse times or places to trigger the super boost to maximize like how far ahead it gets you or increase how long it lasts. Kind of like the bullet bills in Mario Kart.
Sure.
Because bullet bills in Mario Kart, they'll take you from the back all the way to like third place like that.
It kind of evens out the game a little bit, I think, right? Because you got like 99 players. That's a lot for an online game. You know?
And it can help you short cross some areas if you use it correctly, which is kind of a neat feature.
It's kind of a neat feature. It's really the biggest thing in terms of differences as far as like the actual gameplay goes. So that was pretty interesting to see.
Hey boy, that's a feeling I have while I'm in traffic every day. I just want to rise above it all because of the golden poops that I've collected.
After the tutorial course, they drop you into a series of three races that you're forced to do. The first one is against 25 opponents.
I jump into the game and it starts off with 25 races. So off we go. Nailed it. Came first. Excellent.
The second one is against 50.
Second race, I was against, I think, 50. And I stuffed that one up and I crashed out, which does look cool. You get this cool little exploding animation, and then it's you leave a little black spot with your name on it on the tarmac, which is actually, that's quite cool. I like that. I tried that again, though, and I came fifth. So nice, nice.
And then the third one is against a full 99.
And then the last track, I think, was all 99 of us, and I came lucky 13th. Hell yeah.
It's kind of a way to get your feet wet with the whole thing.
Finally, I'm doing well at one of these little speedrun games.
What I didn't realize at the time is that those three races are all against bots.
I'm sorry, what? You mean I was playing all bots for those runs?
I think we've got a load of bots in this one.
And in fact, you can hear me realize that fact right here. First place. Screw you, experienced players. That's right. Oh.
All bots. No actual humans. Ah, oh, biscuits.
Okay.
Here I was thinking I was doing pretty good for a first time. But no. No, they're all just computers.
So looking over the other players, they are all CPUs. Yeah. That is a much less impressive accomplishment than I had thought it would be. So from here on, they're going to let me pick my vehicle. They've got the classic four.
So there are like six different cars?
I think they're cars also. I wasn't sure if they were cars or spaceships.
Ships? Blimps? Boats?
I guess if they're spaceships, it'd be more up and down.
Because we get that boost that lets us fly above the track for a little bit, but otherwise we're just on the ground. So we're not actually planes. These are just floating cars.
So probably just future cars?
The machines and their pilots.
I don't even know what the f*** we're driving, but there are several in different colors and they have a few different stats.
Here we have last minute entries, Samurai Goro in the Fire Stingray. Next, Dr. Stewart, the skillful driver of the Golden Fox. Here's that wild running killer Pyko in the Wild Goose. And here we have the driver of the Blue Falcon, famous bounty hunter, Captain Falcon.
Anyways,
Wild Goose, you got a Blue Falcon, Golden Fox, and the Fire Stingray.
And I just picked the pink one because it's pink.
And the Wild Goose turns out to be the one which is good for people like me who are just bad at the game.
The Blue Falcon, made by unknown. Max speed, 457 kilometers per hour. Total weight, 1,260 kilograms. Pilot, Captain Falcon. This machine has been given a complete, well-balanced tuning by Captain Falcon. Even beginners will be able to skillfully drive the machine after only a little practice. Captain Falcon, from Port Town, age unknown, rumored to be in his early 30s. Besides being an accomplished F-Zero pilot, he is a renowned and talented bounty hunter. Not much is known about his past.
Although Blue Falcon looks the coolest, Golden Fox is also probably quite a good easy one too.
Golden Fox, made by Kevin Stewart. Engine, GF2614x4. Max horsepower, 2,950 PS. Pilot, Dr. Robert Stewart. During the design and construction of this machine, its developer, Kevin Stewart, now deceased, gave priority to acceleration. In compensation for its power output, the body was made to be light to reduce the g-force on the core surface. This characteristic made it difficult to strike a good balance between turning and engine power, resulting in difficult cornering. It is an undeniable fact that the Golden Fox stands up poorly to impact. Pilots using this machine are required to have a high level of skill. Dr. Stewart, from Mute City, full name Robert Stewart, age 31. Though he had followed the lifestyle of the elite as an accomplished and well-respected medical doctor, he has participated in the F-Zero Grand Prix as the pilot of the Golden Fox since the death of his father, the scientist Professor Kevin Stewart.
Oh, I'm using the Wild Goose, which is pretty good.
Wild Goose, made by Sergeant Leapot. Engine, ES8302x3. Pilot, Pico. This machine is designed to withstand very heavy damage. The primary purpose of its design was to allow it to run using a highly aggressive racing style. The soldier who designed the Wild Goose is a member of the Pilapoto tribe of Death Wind, a tribe with a strong fighting spirit. Pico, from Death Wind, age 34. Believed to be an ex-soldier who worked in the Pilapoto Army's Special Fighting Unit. He is a highly aggressive pilot, and his cold heart is a perfect complement to this. Officially, his occupation is an F-Zero pilot, but it is rumored that he is also a competent hitman.
I mostly chose to drive the pink car. I don't remember what it was called.
And I just go with the pretty pink one. It's called Fire Stingray.
Fire Stingray.
Fire Stingray. That's the name of the pink.
And I don't know about you, but I don't think I want to see any stingrays on fire, so maybe I shouldn't be driving this thing.
Made by unknown. Max speed, 478 kilometers an hour. Total weight, 1,960 kilograms. Pilot, Samurai Goro. This machine has two RS-5025 engines, the pride of the universe. It is a heavy-bodied machine and accelerates very slowly. This machine has recorded the fastest speed of the four main machines. Careful and perfectly timed use of the S-Jet is a key point in the operation of this machine. It is also highly rated for its stability while cornering.
And Fire Stingray is the one for people who are good at the game. But I'm not one of those people.
Because I think the stats said that it was like a little tankier than some of the others and had better handling. Looking at it, it's got high grip, medium recovery, high durability. That lines up pretty much exactly with what I remember. And I thought maybe that would help me stay off of the walls quite so much. I don't remember how that worked out.
Samurai Goro, birthplace unknown, believed to be Japanese American. Age unknown, believed to be early 40s. The leader of a renegade band of thieves known to hide out in Red Canyon, it is known that he participated in the Grand Prix under an alias, and it is also rumored that this machine is stolen property. Now let's talk about the courses.
So I figure I'll just start by doing some of the individual ones. I do a few of those.
So yeah, I can't confirm for sure, but I'm fairly certain the cars are a bit smaller and the tracks are a bit wider to allow for more people, because this is the multiplayer version of F-Zero.
What's really cool about this version of the game is that they actually added to the opening of each of these tracks, which honestly makes a lot of sense when you consider there's 99 players. You can't just line them all up or else they'd be wrapped around the whole course. So instead, they have this extra section of the track that leads up to the main track, where they line all 99 players up in a row, and then funnel them into an on-ramp onto the main track. It's pure chaos, but it's awesome.
So before the race starts, the racers get to pick between two tracks, and then the most votes wins.
It seems like people vote for the same few, at least at this lower ranking. Maybe as you get higher ranked, you get some of the later courses added in.
I don't know how many tracks there are to pick from, and I assume you have to do a lot better than I'm doing for a lot longer to unlock more tracks. So it looks like I have 5 tracks to pick from in the online games, but there are 15 in total.
The courses, it takes me to places like Mute City 1, Sand Canyon, and Big Blue.
Introducing the satellite cities and courses. In the F-Zero Grand Prix, 15 courses are located on 9 planets spread throughout the universe.
Right, Mute City 3, Death Wind 2, Port Tantric. Ooh, that's a lot of tracks I've not played. Right, Mute City 3.
So I'm driving around in Mute City in my little pink mobile, and the background, I think, is just buildings.
Mute City. This is the biggest city in all of the Space Federation planets. Mute City has prospered from intergalactic trade and boasts a population of more than 200 million. Its original name was Mutant City. The opening race of all 3 leagues of the F-Zero Grand Prix is held here.
I don't know. Let's see what this second track has to offer. Oh!
Big Blue!
Oh, I get to play on the Big Blue track.
Which is probably my favorite of the, like, early courses that I remembered from playing F-Zero.
So yeah, the main thing I've noticed appears to me, anyway, almost always people just go for either Mute City or Big Blue. That's a thing that happens.
That's cool. Actually, I like the aesthetic of this one. It's quite pretty. It's nice.
99% of this planet's surface is covered in water. The final quarter of this course has been given a special coating that blocks magnetic fields. Pilots must take care not to slide out of control here. Sand Ocean. The entire surface here is covered in dunes. In ancient days, primitive animals lived on this planet. However, now only their fossilized remains can be found. This course requires a high-level driving technique. Take care in the sharp corners by cleverly deciding on the right line to follow. Deathwind. The most peaceful place in the universe. A planet where fierce winds blow without respite. Though this course has been simply designed, it is narrow and difficult to travel along due to severe side winds. Often winning or losing is decided by how skillfully a pilot is able to use the dash zones. Silence. A truly soundless planet where not even a single noise can be heard. Designated as the final course for the Night League, this course is made up almost entirely of right-angled corners. It is truly a test of a pilot's judgment and technique in cornering. White Land. Covered in crystals, this is the most romantic planet in the universe. This extremely demanding course has 2 hairpin corners that have been coated to block out magnetic fields and downward pole magnets planted near its jump plates.
Oh, there's landmines and shit. Oh, bloody hell.
Port Town. This is a harbor town that has been a relay point for intergalactic trade since times gone by. It is renowned among the pilots as the most technically demanding of all courses, as well as having left and right pole magnets, forced deceleration zones, tight chicanes, and other traps. It also has a wide variety of corners.
It's just more pixelated garbage, and I can't tell other than it's some, like, purple shapes.
So, just like with Mario Kart, which has the Mushroom, Flower, and Star Cups, F-Zero has the Night League, the Queen League, and the King League.
On the, like, the leagues, like the Night League, Queen League, King League, stuff like that?
Yeah.
Oh no, they're all going much faster than me because they found the bloody boosters. Oh no! Oh, this is going to actually be hard. Okay, let's go. Let's see how well we do.
It's a lot more challenging because not only do you have to score inside of the bounds, but also the maps are harder, so it's a lot more likely that you're going to crash out. The people are more competitive, so they'll try to bump you out more.
Well, leveled up to level 13. Brilliant. Right, yep, got a new thing. Right, let's do the King League. which is the... Oh, it's the hardest. Ooh, this is gonna suck.
So, not only do you have to worry about staying inside of the rankings, but you also have to worry about not crashing out. Like, there's 99 players in the beginning, but by the third level, and even the night league, there's probably only going to be like 40.
Pretty brutal. It's like Death Race 3000 or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to suck at this. I don't tend to do very well at Grand Prix.
I've tried King League once, actually. And yeah. It was not fun.
There's even a Joker League in the original game that you can unlock if you master the other three.
So, yeah, up until recently, it was just like the starter tracks. They were the ones that were there.
Most of the tracks from the original game have been released for 99, but so far we haven't seen any tracks from the Joker League. But I'm kind of hoping that we get them eventually, because I remember those tracks being absolutely insane. There's even a lava planet in one of them.
So who knows, I may keep playing and unlock a few more, but it's not really that fun that I want to keep grinding to unlock more, you know, average tracks, so we'll see.
Well, it looks like they've just added a whole bunch of the hard ones.
So my first go playing with actual people went pretty average.
At this point, I'm turned loose into the game proper, and it looks like there's basically a couple of modes. One where you just do individual races with 98 other players.
There's only 3 or 4 laps.
Why are there so many laps?
And at the end of every lap, only so many racers can advance. I don't know how that number is determined. I've never missed the cutoff in the games I've played, so I don't know how poorly you have to do to actually miss the cutoff.
I crashed out on the third lap. People kept hitting me into the barrier and making me lose all my power, so that was quite frustrating. I don't like being bullied, and these drivers definitely felt like they were doing it on purpose to trap you into a wall and save themselves from getting hit, which, you know, that's a strategy and I get it, but it makes it really not fun.
It's interesting because I found the game to be kind of boring, mostly.
And what is this power meter, and how do I fill it?
I really didn't care if I was winning or losing.
And what's this limit that keeps getting thrown up on my screen?
I actually recently introduced my stepson Rune to this game, and we've both been having a ton of fun with it. You know, just trying to survive one of the Grand Prix and cheering each other on.
One thing I think is really cool is the Prix.
Oh, like, definitely. Yeah. They do these like little mini events. Yeah. And like they have like mini Prix and then the Grand Prix and all that.
Yeah, because you have like you have the normal racing thing, which is just 99 players. Yep. And you're just racing to see who gets to the end or see who gets the highest place. But there's also like special events where it's like team battles, where there's two teams and you have to just rack up as many points as possible to win.
But it's just a lot of laps around a very boring circuit with no obstacles and no items, and it...
So you do like regular races and then you get tickets to use in the Grand Prix.
And then a Grand Prix mode as well, where you do a series of 5 races.
There's mini Prix where you have to go through 3 levels, like 3 pre-chosen levels.
It seems like you don't really get the full experience of this game without at least trying Grand Prix like once.
Pretty fun. It's a lot actually more challenging because you have to get like really good score by the end.
At each course, the qualifying number of racers gets lower, so you can be eliminated partway through the series of 5.
And then when you do the Grand Prix, you either feel really, really good because you've done really well, or you don't feel good because you're not very good, and you automatically get kicked out if you crash out. Especially if you're like me and you're bumping into the sides all the time.
Now, Biscuits, I wasn't looking at my power meter on that last lap, and I used too much boost and I crashed out. Oh, well.
Going into the first course, no real issue on that one. Went pretty smoothly.
Okay, that time I made it through Mute City 2 in 35th.
Going into the second course, the intro section was way more complicated. I fell to the back immediately, but I was able to stay in it, feeling pretty okay.
I got a lot more of those little sky boost coin things so I could boost more often, which was nice. So let's have another go and see if I can get a different track.
Third course. First lap down and I am at risk of being eliminated. I literally passed someone to stay in it at the last second thanks to a boost. And I ranked out.
Now, as for strategies, I will say you can't just put the pedal to the metal constantly. This isn't Mario Kart.
It just feels like it's not really possible to have these big come from behind moments like you get with something like a Mario Kart, right?
I like the thrill of Mario Kart, where blue shells can just sneak up on you, or lightning will strike you down, or you'll get that red shell right when you need it to win the race.
Now, I love me some Mario Kart. You know, it's a Nintendo staple. I'm always down to throw down with some blue shells on Rainbow Bridge, but when it comes to racing games, F-Zero is a whole other ballgame.
Even, you know, a racing game with more of a theme to it, not a fan.
There's not really any items or special abilities or anything that you can use to affect the race in any sort of meaningful way.
I don't know. It's more exciting than just driving around in circles with other people, just also driving around in circles.
Which means that it's really down to just how perfectly you can hit every line, how perfectly you can drive through the course.
If you try and play F-Zero like it's Mario Kart, you will die a quick and painful explosive death.
I like a racing game where you can murder the other players. Your Carmageddons, if you will. That's my kind of racing game.
I like a racetrack that's more interactive and a lot less like Demolition Derby style racing.
Barely a racing game, Doug. I understand. I understand. So yeah, fundamentally, I don't like racing games.
I don't know. I need some like moo cows to dodge or some big corners to drift around or anything.
The main difference is the mechanics in general and like the interactions between players. Because in Mario Kart, there's like a bunch of different things you can throw at people, like the squids and the bananas and the shells and stuff like that. But in F-Zero 99, at least, it's just the spinning attack, boosts, and racing.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And where are my weapons?
How well you use your boosts, and since boosts use up your like power, your structure of your vehicle, how well you can manage that, basically.
And there's no targets to hit? You just want me to drive in circles for God knows how many laps?
When it comes to F-Zero, there's a lot of strategy involved. You have to be careful with how you go around certain turns, and sometimes you even need to take your foot off the gas completely or lean into certain sharp turns in order to not go ping-ponging across the course like an air hockey puck.
Ah! Bumping all over the place, bumping and grinding.
Which meant that a lot of times it felt like you, at least for me, I just kind of sat at the middle of the pack basically every time, because there were a bunch of people who were doing real bad, and then the folks who were up in the front, like they're so dialed in that there's not really any opportunity for me to make something happen.
I'm not good at this game. I'm really bad at it. I'm really, really bad at it.
And I wonder, I mean, you know, this is, I'm starting out, this is at the lowest skill levels of the game, right? And so maybe this doesn't hold true for the higher ranks, but it's really hard for me to imagine any way that you would start to be able to really do anything except like get into the lead and then maintain the lead. There's just no opportunity for moving up and down the ranks. And that's kind of disappointing because that's what feels fun, right? That's, you want to have some of that kind of chaos and excitement in the race. Otherwise, it's just like, great, I'm sitting at this place and that's just kind of the place that I'm gonna be for the whole time unless somebody really blows it ahead of me, you know?
So yeah, you budge along with your things, you turn with your stick. You try to make sure you're always getting your thing, because if you're anything like me, you're going to be boosting pretty much whenever you can. You're going to be shit at doing corners, like I am being right now. Oh, this one's a clever track.
And then dealing with these kind of weird floaty controls.
The controls are mildly better than the Mario Kart on the Game Boy Advance, but not a lot.
The button layoff, Jesus f***ing Christ, that pisses me off.
Oh, I'm not good at this. Right. Anyway, so yeah.
Like, A is accelerate and B is super accelerate. That's awkward. Trying to press A and occasionally B with one finger is awkward and bad.
When landing after a jump, press down on the control pad to tilt the nose of your machine upward. This prevents the impact shock of landing from decelerating your machine.
And that the left bumper and right bumper lets you drift, as in the left bumper lets you drift left and the right bumper lets you drift right. Not just a generic right bumper lets you drift either direction like in Mario Kart. So that took me a bit to get used to. I'd keep just hitting the right one and then wondering why I wasn't drifting left very well.
It's maddening. I want to kick Nintendo in the face. Please let me configure my goddamn buttons.
Take care, however, to prevent your machine from leaving the side of the course and falling to a crash, landing far below.
Nintendo, let me configure my controller.
In F-Zero 99, you're focused on your boosting, you're focused on your health, you're focused on the players around you, you're focused on your, like, on your spin attack reload, you're just focused on the map, you're focused on, like, so many different things. However, in the original game, all you're focused on is the map, a very small amount of other people, and your health. That's about it.
The main thing that you find yourself doing is you just gotta try and do better than your rivals, yeah? That's what you gotta do. You gotta do better than your rivals. So that's how you get better.
Blew somebody up.
That's how you get a better ranky.
I love this game, but I'm not great at it. When we were first starting out, we were lucky to just finish a race a lot of times, you know?
Yeah.
I did a couple more races, and an interesting additional aspect to the game was revealed.
Oh, I just KO'd someone. Oh, brilliant. Yeah, you get shit for knocking people out. Well, I think mostly for knocking out, like, other racers. I don't think I get anything for knocking out, like, the little bumper guys, because there's little bumper guys.
So I blew up for the first time in a course, and it turns out once you blow up, they actually give you a bumper car to play as.
Like, when you die, if you die early sometimes, you get to be what they call a lucky bumper, and you can just try to ram people off the road and stuff.
It's kind of automatically controlled. You can go left and right, but it makes all the curves and turns for you. And I think it does that because it also turns the camera around so that you are facing you're seeing the front of the bumper car and all of the cars behind you. And the idea is that you get additional points by banging into other players.
Oftentimes, you get to control the little thingy, little bumper.
They give you the spin attack, and then you can also just, like, run into them. And then at the end, once you, like, it gives you a certain amount of time of that, and then you just automatically detonate. And then it gives you a certain number of points based on how many people you bumped into to add on to whatever points you got for the time period that you played in the course.
It's always funny becoming the lucky bumper because it's, like, you can, if you actually crash someone out, you can just feel the anger coming from.
Oh, totally.
Like, it is pretty funny to get someone out as a lucky bumper because you really don't do that much damage.
So that was kind of an interesting little extra piece for when you have just totally missed the mark and blown up, died on the course. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a nice consolation prize. Like, yeah, you kind of suck at this game, but here's some, you know.
I just did all right. I got 49 out of 99. That's top 50. That's not too bad. Did I beat? Oh, I beat all my rivals. Brilliant.
The highest ranking I've gotten so far was 17th place. I'm still very proud of that, but I'm happy if I make it into, like, the high 60s. And I feel super lucky if I make it up past 50th place.
Because if you worry about winning, then you know what? You're going to be in for a lot of depression. Because it appears to me, like so many games like this, which are entirely online multiplayer, you're just going to get depressed. Because you're always going to lose. In a nicest way, we just lose them at different rates.
I think I've only got to, like, the top 20, like, I don't know, maybe 3 times.
I feel I've gotten the experience from this game, so I guess I'll give some kind of final thoughts and impressions.
F-Zero is pretty fun.
It's frantic. It's fun.
It was fine.
So yeah, I just didn't really like the racing part of it.
Honestly, I do recommend it.
I really went off the rails here with a game that I could do not care for very much at all.
It seems to me that, like, F-Zero is kind of like in the middle of that spectrum between Mario Kart and games like Forza, where it's not going for ultra realism, but it is more of, like, a true racing game.
It's, I mean, hey, look, if you're listening to this and haven't played and somehow trust me, it's free if you have Nintendo Online.
Whereas, like, Mario Kart, I mean, I love Mario Kart, but it's a little bit more gimmicky, I think, you know?
Yeah, Forza is a more realistic racing game. It does contrast very heavily to this game, not only because this game's set in the future and you're going, like, right. 4,000 kilometers an hour.
Exactly.
Opposed to barely pushing 200.
It's worth giving it a try, unless you, like me, don't like racing games and don't really care for multiplayer games, then you're not going to like it.
Fun. I don't actually think the multiplayer aspects are that frustrating unless you're like, got your heart set on coming in first place all the time, but you know, it's not what's going to happen.
This doesn't transcend either of those things in any way, and I personally feel like it's really not even that great a version of either one of those things.
I do feel like F-Zero does kind of lean more towards a Mario Kart side of things, but I do see what you're saying with like the Mario Kart on the end of the spectrum,
yeah,
and Forza on the other side, because Mario Kart's a very cartoony,
yeah,
physics don't apply.
Exactly.
Then again, in F-Zero,
yeah,
you're dealing with hover cars, so it's not exactly
true. Yeah, realism, it's way different.
But
yeah,
it's at least has an idea of turning radius and stuff like that.
Otherwise, it's F-Zero.
Fun. It's chaos and silliness, and that's part of the joy.
But, I don't know, to me, not as interesting. I don't know why.
But if you love, I guess, the original F-Zero, or you really love these kind of, like, you know, retro game experiences.
I've not played for a while because everyone's level is so much higher than mine.
If you love multiplayer racing, yeah, the games are quick, it's...
I would suggest just playing F-Zero, especially on Switch, because you can use Rewind to play the races if you screw up terribly.
Well, I say it's easier than it was on the SNES.
I think the original game's a lot harder, honestly.
It is definitely harder, but I think that also makes it like more fun.
I would say if you want to get really good at F-Zero 99, like go master the original game and it'll be a breeze, you know?
I find it's more satisfying and more fun than SNES F-Zero. I'm sorry, guys, but that's just the fact.
It's not for me.
It's an interesting idea. Is it great? Probably not. Is it okay? Yeah, sure. Why not? There are worse ways to spend time, worse games you could play.
Overall, pretty game. Like, it looks really nice. It looks very much like the original SNES one, just with some polish, which is nice. Like, that game always looked pretty cool.
It's really fun. Well, I think it is, anyway.
It's not for me.
It's hectic, and I'm not very good at it.
The music for the tracks is really fun, and I like the boosters that you race up on the Sky Track. But after a few games, it's just the same boring tracks with average controls. So I think I'll probably stick to Mario Kart for my racing game needs.
But F-Zero 99 is just... if you're into the Battle Royale things...
As far as the 99, the Battle Royalification side of it, I don't know. It's fine, I guess.
Or really into F-Zero and Battle Royale, I suppose it's really cool, and you'll probably just play it and play it and play it, but I am not that person who can do that, so it's not quite for me.
But it also wasn't annoying, so it's not, I can tell it's not a bad game.
And I absolutely get why people would love this game. Getting those boosts in just the right spot and mastering the drifts.
It's just not for me.
So yeah, I don't know that I'm going to play this again. It was kind of a fun little diversion, but it's just not for me, I think, overall.
But it's just, it's not that interesting for me.
I think it's really fun. I know like lots of people think it's naff, but...
it's just very meh.
I hope the other folks playing it enjoyed it, though.
So from what I understand, Nintendo's throwing this out there and basically testing the waters to see if there's interest in a new F-Zero game. So let's show them that there is one.
So this game, the actual F-Zero 99, was pretty fun.
Would you be interested in a new F-Zero game?
I'd have to play the other games first. I mean, a new F-Zero game sounds cool, because I love F-Zero and the original one, so why not add another?
What would you like to see in a new F-Zero game? I guess that's a good question.
Honestly, I would like to see split screen.
It would be more fun with a group of friends, but still not as much fun as Mario Kart. Actually, can you really play this with friends? Is it just luck that you might get into the same game?
Yeah, because a lot of games now, they don't have split screen. If you want to play with your friends, you have to play online, which is really annoying.
That's such a good point.
Because, like, if, like, whenever I go to my friend's house and I want to play video games, like, I have to bring my own computer just to play video games.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
And it's like, I want to be able to play Minecraft on the Xbox 360.
Definitely.
With a split screen, and I can barely see what I'm looking at.
Yeah, couch co-op, they definitely need to bring that back.
I would love to see something like the Skyline, but instead of, like, the actual Skyline, like the, I mean, that's like a tunnel.
Oh, yeah.
Like how they have in the Big Blue Mario Kart map.
Yeah, that's actually taken from the 64 game, from F-Zero X. So they have a lot of, like, tunnels and crazy things like that in that one.
Best one I've ever played. I got top 25, got 17 there. That's all right.
It's been cool to see that this game actually holds up pretty well for a newer generation.
Thank you again for choosing the F-Zero Shuttle.
And it's been a really cool way to bond over something I have a ton of nostalgia for.
I mean, I know that you keep getting better and you get points and you can enter different, like, little competitions that they have every, seems to be every, like, 40 minutes or 20 minutes. There's different, like, online competitions, but I don't know.
There seems to be fun in here that is not for me. I'm repeating myself.
It's not that exciting.
I should just bow out of this gracefully.
Any final thoughts on F-Zero 99?
If you haven't played it, play it. And it's a really good game.
Thank you for choosing.
If you haven't played any F-Zero games, play them all.
Yeah, F-Zero 99 I think is a good one to start with, though, for sure.
It's much more user-friendly, yeah. Besides
definitely
the walls.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have way better games to play on the SNES, like Kirby. So I'm just, I'm going to go ahead and play in Dreamland. Because at least in Dreamland, when I suck, it's a good thing.
I've been Dan playing F-Zero 99.
Thank you all for listening to this podcast, especially with submissions like me, but listen, we got Brett, we got Elise, you know, we got some heavy hitters here.
So with that, I'll catch you all later for some more Nintendo shenanigans.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed.
Anyway, I will talk to you again later. Ta-da.
Bye.
Wait, there's an anime?
Boost Talk! Hi-ya! ブラックシャドウ地獄の道行きはどうやらお前と私になりそうだ
キャプテンファルコン
ファルコンを超えた者だけがファルコンになれるリュースザック今日から君がキャプテンファルコンだうわ私は死なん死なんぞファルコンアーム
キャプテンファルコン
be sure to check out our Patreon for all kinds of bonus content, including my full dramatic reading of the original instruction manual and comic book for the original F-Zero on the Super Nintendo. If you're a fan of this podcast and want to keep this show going,
help support us on Patreon,
where you can unlock tons of great content like
early access to ad-free episodes,
behind-the-scenes clips,
extended cuts,
blooper reels,
bonus episodes,
and a chance to pick the game we play next.
Join our 1UP Mushroom League,
our exclusive DK Island Club,
or the Hylian Royal Family with the power of the Triforce.
Just head on over to patreon.com/thesuperswitchclub.
Link is in the show notes.
And a quick shout out to all of our Patreons over on patreon.com/thesuperswitchclub, including our DK Island Club members, Cal Dranis, Bill from the RPG Years, Josh Murphy from Mushroom Comics, and Michael Coleman from Mike's Unedited Let's Plays.
Thank you so much to everyone who contributed to this season of the Super Switch Club. I know it was a little bit hectic at times, but we made it through this crazy speedrun cycle. We're about to start up Cycle 3 with our next NES game, Star Tropics. So we hope to see you there.
To be continued, push start.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.
Da 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 da